gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. What a show. David Bender coming up in less than half an hour. Carl Frisch hosts Right Wing World with us next hour. And Terry O'Sullivan, president of LiUNA, which is not a country, it's a union.
Right.
As I pointed out yesterday. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Laborers International, come on!
Of North America.
Yeah, thank
That's what
you.
The na is at the end.
Yes, indeed. StephanieMiller.com. Because things is heating up. You know, as my friend... Urza Klein says.
It's
some
Ezra.
People call him Ezra.
Some people. Some people say.
This has turned. I believe this has turned.
Yeah.
Not from how long can the protesters hold out, but how long can Scott Wanker hold out?
Walker.
The well-known Coke whore. Pardon me?
Walker.
Sure. You Walker. I just met her. All right.
Walker, I barely met her.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. And this is, it's all cattywampus day. Because Rude Pundit couldn't be here Monday.
Sleep up at the Rude Pundit.
Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning. Thursday enthusiasm is so much different than Monday enthusiasm.
It is.
Most definitely.
We're getting ready for Friday, for the weekend.
I know.
Is everything okay? I know you had a personal something.
Oh, sure. It's okay. Life and it continues.
Okay. Okay, good. Now, you write, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's eyes have the glazed over look of a man who just... off to a Facebook album of your niece's fifth birthday party.
Ew.
Which, now,
ew.
Come on, while true...
That was rude.
Go figure.
But now that we've heard the phone sex with the fake David Koch, you know, it's...
Oh, God, that's so great.
Yeah.
I just want to know how easy it is to get through to Scott Walker. I mean, you could call up and go, hello, I'm Rupert Murdoch. I just want to tell you to hang in there.
Well, I mean, again, the news just keeps getting worse and worse for him. Today, the headline is Governor Walker informed that bill targeting unions may cost the state $46 million in federal funds. And I love the line in the story, a call to Walker's office not immediately returned. Well, that's because you didn't say you were a Koch brother.
That's right.
Don't you know how to get through to Governor Walker?
Just name your, say you're Sean Hannity, you know, I'm Sean Hannity and I just want to say we're all with you here and then offer up Ann Coulter for a night or something like that.
Ew.
But
you know, it's just out for a night with Ann Coulter.
Is it me or is this blowing up in his face? He's just one thing after another. He's saying is proven to be not true. You know, he's saying he campaigned on this. He didn't,
Absolutely did not campaign on that. I mean, that was something that I wrote about this week. I did the nexus search of anything having to do with Scott Walker or collective bargaining or union rights. There was not a single thing on his campaign website about it.
Right.
And, you know, considering he won by 52% is what he got, I think that, you know, there might have been a few percentage different if he'd have campaigned on that.
Well, and obviously the first nonpartisan poll there showing, you know, the public largely on the protesters' side, and I think that we really are getting to a point where you, and this is before this prank call that pretty much exposed what he's trying to do, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's not a joke to call this guy dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is demonstrably dumb.
Yeah.
He didn't finish college because he had a decent job dangled in front of him, and he was by his own admission a C average student, a C grade student in college. I'm sorry. I think that tells you something about a candidate or about a politician.
Well, and as you write, as if he had finished school, he might have learned that those collective bargaining rights you just want to toss aside about those people. Died to get those and other workers' rights. That's the history of this country. That's the history of Wisconsin. Did you really think you could merely spit on those corpses and walk away unscathed? I don't think this is turning out the way he and the Koch brothers were planning.
Well, what sort of set this up was that in 2005, this went through in Indiana with barely a peep. and that collective bargaining rights of public workers were legislated away. And but now there's attention being paid because it's Wisconsin. You know, for God's sake, Wisconsin is the heart of this kind of union activism, and it's where public service employee rights, collective bargaining rights, started in this country.
Right.
And now you're going to come say, you know, what your father and grandfather fought for, we're just going to wipe away.
Well, and as you write, you say, you know, in his pathetic fireside chat, Walker lied again and again to the people of his state. Not only did he not acknowledge that unions have agreed to the increases in contributions to benefit, because if he did so, he'd have to say that the bargaining part of collective bargaining actually works. Not only did he not mention the budget cuts he got in January, but he blamed the continuing uprising more and more on protesters who come in from elsewhere, which is, of course, what he said on this phone call to the fake Koch brother, which is demonstrably untrue.
Right, and I love that. I love that it's Nevada. Nevada, really? That's the best you can do for places? Come on, California, give us some San Francisco hippies coming in here to you know, toot their vuvuzelas in the state capital.
Yeah. But, you know, and now you say, I mean, literally at this point he's getting like a hostage crisis. You say, you know, he said he's going to start, now he's threatening to lay off workers, you know, and you write, he may as well have said he's going to start tossing the bodies of his hostages out of the state house. I mean...
He just laid it out there as an ultimatum. He said flat out, you know, I'm going to, if this bill doesn't pass, I'm going to start laying people off. And... that doesn't really work with union when you're talking about the basic rights of a union to exist.
Right.
You have put a gun to their head, and what do you expect the unions to do? And this is one of the most encouraging union actions since probably the UPS strike.
And you wrote something that I was wondering yesterday. You say, you know, this long dormant force of worker actions is awakened to lumbering, stunning life as crowds grow by the thousands. I mean, you know, that's what I was saying. Has he done us a favor? I mean, it seems like this is having the opposite effect he intended.
I think so, and I think it certainly laid the groundwork for what's going on now in Ohio and in Indiana and in all of these states where they're simply trying to strip away, going for this long coveted Republican goal of trying to disenfranchise union voices, because unions are the only place that people have a strong voice in the democracy anymore, since money is what talks.
Yeah, you make a great point, a larger point. Elections have consequences as long as it's a conservative who's elected. Senate Republicans in Washington didn't give a flea's fart about the consequences of the 2008 elections in blocking Barack Obama's agenda that he campaigned on and won on. That's the cogent point, right? We keep hearing now, hey, elections have consequences. It's like, really? That didn't stop you from, you know, being the most obstructionist Congress in our history.
Exactly, and you know, you can sit there and argue, well, you know, they have the right to use the filibuster exists. Well, yeah, so do quorum rules according to Robert's Rules of Order. And so if the Democratic legislators say, hey, we don't want to play, there's no quorum, there's no vote.
Yep.
So
I love since the election of Barack Obama, or perhaps since the 2006 congressional elections, Republicans have been throwing the longest sustained hissy fit in American political history. It really is stunning, and I just think, like I say, this is not playing out how they planned, right?
They broke the camel's back. They broke the camel's back, and now all of these working class people who have voted Republican, who have bought into Republican ideology about how they're going to one day get rich because of, you know, a minor tax cut, are suddenly realizing, wait a minute, this thing that we actually covet might be stripped away from us. And I think that in the long term, this is a very, very bad miscalculation by the right.
Well,
poll after poll now are showing it. I think it's like 61% of Americans of support collective bargaining rights.
Well, and I mean, how damaging do you think this phone call is going to be? Is, you know, despite the governor's office attempt to just spin this as nothing? I mean, first of all, didn't he admit to taking a bribe? I mean, I'm reading the transcript, the fake Koch brother. Well, I'll tell you what, Scott, once you crush these bastards, I'll fly you out to Cali and really show you a good time, Walker. All right, that would be outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, you know, I think also in the call is about the section about tricking the Democrats into coming back.
Oh, yeah. That's tricky.
Them, yeah,
we'll lock their checks and then
No. Tell them that we're going to talk. We're going to come back and
right.
have them come back and we're going to talk and negotiate. And meanwhile, we'll keep them
right.
in a talk and that'll... And then
right.
The
I'm going to trick them into coming back by saying that I might appear to be negotiating, but I'm not really. And then we're
yeah.
going to lock their paychecks in the locked drawer.
Yeah.
It's America's funniest legislative pranks.
I tell you, and that's the thing is when you look in this guy's eyes, I just see this guy. I see the look of a man at a porn shop, you know, trying to hide what he's doing underneath his overcoat.
Yep.
So let's get to real quick before you go. The breaking good news. Excuse me. The Obama administration has notified Congress it will no longer defend the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I mean, this is yet another domino, isn't it, after Don't Ask, Don't Tell? This is, I think, pretty big news.
There's a real nice sort of narrative arc that this is taking here. It's almost like Obama is reflecting the evolving attitude of the entire country. And so...
I tell you what, Rude, it's interesting what you some of the stuff you wrote this week. I mean, I wonder whether they really are awakening the sleeping giant that elected Barack Obama. You know, workers, you know, gay people, you hearken back to that first speech he gave.
And it's funny the way that the elections have consequences on the population that was affected most by the outcome of the election. In other words, that in 2008, Barack Obama was elected with a Democratic majorities in both houses. Well, that pissed off the right, so they woke up and are like, oh, we're going to protest for, I don't know, things that rich people want. And now, after 2010 and the consequences of that, that's waking up the left
well,
and say, okay, we're
I mean,
whoa,
and how wait. And how funny that the tipping point could literally would be this prank phone call. You go, you know, people, fair-minded people go, you don't have a second to talk to the other legislators in your state on something that affects so many people, but you have 20 minutes to sit on the phone with this, you know, right-wing guy? I mean, you know,
yeah.
that, right.
And talk about Mika Brzezinski's ass.
Yes, which is more important to the national debate,
yeah.
I think, than anything.
Yeah. I love that the guy from the Buffalo Beast got that in. That's just beautiful.
Yeah, he's and again, just too dumb to be governor. I mean, that and using the word hobo. Like,
yeah.
Or is this really how right-wing people talk behind closed doors?
You know, they're stuck in Depression era
yeah.
language, I guess.
Hobo.
I use it as a joke, but I'm like, really? He doesn't even think that's a joke? All right. Rude Pundit, delightful on Thursdays, as you are on Mondays.
Well, thank you.
I will count the moments till I see you again on Monday.
Already.
All right, there he goes, rudepundit.blogspot.com. Thank you. I knew that.
Well, then why did you look at me and point at me?
19 minutes to the hour. I was looking for... You know,
confirmation?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, you poor
you
thing.
Tell me all the time I have a nice ass right to my face.
See? You have a nice ass, and
thank
if
you.
I see Mika Brzezinski, I'm going to tell her that she has a
we
nice ass.
We should have an ass off. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yes, chat room, Brzezinski is Croatian for nice ass.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you for doing the research. It's like we have a little research factory in the chat room
yeah.
there at stephaniemiller.com. Thank
you. We're crowdsourcing the comedy.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jeff in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, listen, you know, first I want to thank you guys for starting the show off talking about the unfolding story in Wisconsin, especially the phone call. I think that's really important that we talk about that and the implications.
What do you think the implications are?
Well, I think that we have a more detailed conversation about the effects of corporations on our politics as
yeah.
a whole.
Yeah.
Now, but
boy, that's
my,
Exhibit A, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think a lot of people who, you know, were in denial about it or in, you know, who didn't quite believe how bad it had gotten, I think this is, you know, this is really telling.
Yeah.
My concern, however,
I mean, what do you think the people of Wisconsin, Jeff, let me just quickly, I mean, first of all, he's killed the train. You know, who knows how many jobs that is. And now, you know, this latest thing I think is a big deal that, you know, he's going to forfeit because of it's in a provision in federal labor law. He's going to lose the state almost $50 million. I mean, it's, you know, I think he is getting between a rock and a hard place, don't you?
Yeah, it makes me wonder what the recall laws are in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And if anybody's looking into that.
Yeah, frankly. By the way, they don't have to commit a crime, Chris. Someone said that the other day.
I had read that earlier, but
no.
I guess it's not. It's
you
not,
just have to get enough signatures. Anyway, okay. Jeff, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry. We've hijacked your call. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Well, what I really wanted to talk about was, and let me first say that I totally support the administration's decision on DOMA.
Yeah.
But what concerns me is the timing of the release of that decision. You know, this is among independents, this is a divisive issue, and I think that they could have announced it on Friday. It would have been buried over the weekend, and, you know, it would have had the same effect, obviously, the policy.
What difference would it make what day they announced
a divisive issue?
Here's the thing, because among independents. I'm not saying
I don't think so.
I
don't think so, Jeff. If you look at polling, I gotta say, I mean, if you looked at the polling on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I mean, it just seems long overdue.
I agree. It is long overdue, but just hear me out. Hear me out, because I tried to make this point on another show and I was not able to make it. I'm concerned that this announcement was made at the same time that this Wisconsin story is gaining ground. And frankly, I think it gives corporate media, right-wing media, an excuse to not cover this as in-depth. It's a distraction from it. And I think if the announcement were made on a Friday, we'd still be talking about Wisconsin.
All right. Well, that's a conspiracy snoshage, Jeff, but I disagree. But thank you.
And you know what? I don't think the Friday afternoon document dump is as influential as it used to be, because we're in a 24-hour news cycle now, and so it doesn't matter what
and
day.
And besides, again, the Defense of Marriage Act, that's a different subject in a way than gay marriage. It's just it was a ridiculous law. I remember my good friend Senator Barbara Boxer out here giving a speech. It was, you know, a few years ago, and I remember her talking about how ridiculous it was when it came up. She said, when I first heard about it, they told me, oh, we have a Defense of Marriage. She goes, I thought, oh, okay, well, what is it? Is it something that it helps, you know, is it with child care or something that helps, you know, marriages somehow? Is it? And she was like, it's about what?
Yeah.
What? How does that help my marriage?
It was named by Frank Luntz.
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah.
All right. John in Michigan, Lori in Connecticut real quick. Hey, Lori, go ahead.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how our newly elected Democratic governor here in Connecticut is dealing with our $3 billion deficit. He's instead of slash and burn, he's taking a balanced approach. He's making some spending cuts. He's asking the unions for some concessions. Raising taxes.
Wow, a balanced approach. Weird. 29 minutes after the hour, back with David Bender next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She had a nice face, her booty was in place, but Barney don't chase.
Oh, come on, I'm no Mika Brzezinski. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, it's that time of the week. Yeah. You can't help yourself. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
There you go. David Bender.
Good morning, David Bender.
Good morning, Stephanie. Bender's not here. It's David Koch. How are you?
Oh, you scallywag. You scamp.
Mika, is that you, Mika?
You know, we were just saying, Dave, before the break, I mean, it is kind of stunning that a prank call could save our union at this point. I mean, this has got to be turning public opinion, isn't it?
It obviously is.
Well, I mean, public opinion, let me just say, was already going the way of the protesters, obviously.
I got to say something. I had a rare privilege. I had a chance to interview one of the great legends. I interviewed Hal Holbrook for a project I'm doing a couple days ago. And I had to thank him. I said, you know, you had the best line to explain politics to anyone in America. And you had it in a movie called All the President's Men. Very, very simple line. Follow the money.
Yep.
And you know, this was before the Scott Walker call. And now you follow the money. You see, it goes straight from David Koch to Scott Walker. The Stand with Walker stuff that the Koch brothers are funding, just follow the money.
Right.
And even amazingly, even Fox News, even, I guess it's Shep Smith, is following the money. You saw it this week that the top 10 contributors in the last election, 7 of them were organizations that went to Republicans, that, you know, the Karl Rove groups. The last 3 in the top 10 following the money were unions. And the Koch brothers want to get rid of any competition. It's real simple.
Yep.
Just follow the money.
Yep, absolutely. I hope Walker doesn't snap and go Gaddafi or something. did you hear he just attacked Gaddafi? Just
a rally yet in Madison?
Gaddafi just attacked a mosque. Did you see that breaking news?
No.
What does he think he is? Peter King, Republican of New York? No, that's an anti-mosque joke. Anyway, my point is...
Is Gaddafi at ground zero now? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Don't build it here.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, how is this going to play out? You know, I was saying that Ezra Klein is, you know, the headline is, how long can Scott Walker hold out? I mean, you know, it's one story after another now.
You had a caller a minute ago ask the key question, and being a longtime political guru, let me give you the answer. The answer is you can't recall Scott Walker for a year. The rules, the law of Wisconsin, it is true, it's not a criminal act, it's whatever grounds that people want in terms of filing signatures, and that there's a procedure for any issue. I mean, it's a Gray Davis situation. You can recall him, but you cannot begin the process until 1 year after he was elected. Actually, 10 months after, you can begin signature gathering. So for the next, you know, pretty much year, Scott Walker can't be recalled, but I'll tell you what can happen. The 19 Republicans, many of in the state Senate, many of whom have been there longer than a year, are subject to the same provision. So for people listening right now who want to take some action, political action, start filing signatures against some of these Republicans who think they're safe, the ones who are sitting in Madison waiting to have that vote. How about if there's some signature gathering
laughing
right now?
By the way, laughing at some of the Democratic representatives who, you know, rightfully got passionate about that and said, this isn't funny. You know, this is serious. This is people's lives.
This is not a joke at all. And you know, even though it was hysterically funny to hear Scott Walker talking about how other Republican governors and, it, you know, it's, what is it, Governor Envy? I mean, you know, Brian Sandoval is worried that I'll come to Nevada and beat him. You know, what? This is madness. And I'm talking to John Kasich every day.
Yeah. Again, it shows that it is absolutely a coordinated plan in many states. You know, and I don't, it's interesting how I love the spin begins. The Walker spokesman said the governor takes many calls every day. The phone call shows the governor says the same thing in private as he does in public, and the lengths that others will go to disrupt the civil debate Wisconsin's having. First of all, that's exactly the opposite of the truth. And secondly, I mean, that may have been the most damning thing is he admitted to going, I thought about that, sending in some troublemakers. But, you know, I did not do it because that might be wrong or some people might get hurt. I did it because it might not work for me politically.
It might not work, exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, John Nichols was talking about this last night, you know, a great reporter, Wisconsin-based. There are a bunch of ethics violations just from that call, and there is an independent ethics board in Wisconsin that can start looking at this stuff. Again, it's not subject to recall yet. You know, it's probably, you know, there's no way with a Republican legislature he can be impeached, but politically, you know, he's already at 10% below approval. What is it, 41%? Approval in Wisconsin among his constituents. Wait until the next poll happens after this. He's fallen like an elevator, you know, without a bottom floor.
Here's Governor Wenker yesterday. Scott Walker yesterday.
I take phone calls all the time. Took phone calls with small business owners earlier.
Sure.
This individual, I've taken phone calls from, actually talked to one of the Senate Democrats over the weekend. I'm not going to allow one prank phone call to be a distraction from the reality is that we have a job to do here. And the job is to debate this bill.
Uh-huh.
And you're only able to debate it if you're in the Capitol, focused on what's at hand. Make your case, make your argument, but in the end, you can't make that by fleeing to some other state. Patrick, you had a question?
By the way, I love that, David, except that he admitted the exact opposite in the phone call, that he wasn't going to negotiate. He was just going to pretend to, while just basically tricking them to get it coming back into the Capitol. I mean, it's just,
There is a word for that, Stephanie. Let me see if I can remember what it is. Wait a minute. Lying.
Yeah.
Lying. That's what the word is.
Yeah.
You remember back, those of us old enough to remember Richard Nixon, he had a press secretary named Ron Ziegler, who would say when he was forced to admit that the president had lied, he would not say, they changed their position or it was a misstatement. That statement is now inoperative.
Yeah.
That's the language that we're seeing from these folks. You know, Scott Walker is a classic Republican apparatchik. That's who he is. And you know, it's as Rude said, this is a C student. And remember though, that this is that grade level that they aspire to. That was George W. Bush, the C student. And these are the people they're putting forward. And they can't run their state. He's going to lose the 46 million in federal funds. Remember Chris Christie?
Yeah, and how do you, first of all, David, how do you keep making that case this is about the budget and about deficit when you are about to lose $50 million by going through with this? I mean, it seems to me he is really has painted himself into a corner.
Of course he has, and facts are pesky little things that turn out, you know, to keep biting you in your Mika Brzezinski.
Here's the other thing I realized that the call disproved is, you know, he's been saying, oh, I campaigned on this. Well, of course, there's a long, exhaustive piece where reporters went through. Absolutely not. And in the phone call, he admits that. We're going to drop the bomb, meaning he knew that he didn't. He never campaigned on, never talked about taking away collective bargaining rights.
And here we go again. You and I and all of us who are looking at this going, here's objective reality. These people don't live in objective reality. They live in their own. They create their own. The out-of-state agitators, the people that, you know, they imagined or were hoping for, there are some out-of-state agitators. There is a move to try and do the same thing I was just talking about for recalling the Republican senators. There has been an incipient move to try and recall some of the Democratic senators who've left the state. And that, guess where that's starting? The people who are organizing that are from Utah.
Let me ask you the same question I asked Rude. Do you think this could awaken the sleeping giant that elected President Obama?
It has. It absolutely has. And you know, I completely disagree with the notion that you're spot on here, that, you know, they shouldn't have announced the Indefensible Marriage Act decision at the same time. This is all of a piece. This is the Obama constituency finally seeing that there and the fact that the president is standing with Wisconsin and supporting collective bargaining is absolutely part of saying this is what you did elect me for. This is what I did campaign on.
Right.
And that's finally happening. And we are, I hate to say it because it's 2011, but we're in full swing. We're in the election year. And this is a little bit of a buried story, but already the Republican candidates, the prospective ones, are dropping like flies. John Thune, the Ken Doll of the U.S. Senate, opted out.
And unfortunately said the truth because he doesn't think they can beat Obama. Oops.
Absolutely. There'll be a lot more of that coming. You watch and see. There's a lot more of this. Chris Christie has already said he's not running, although occasionally, did you hear that Sarah Palin is going to India to give a speech?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I hope she doesn't look at a Fox map. I've always fought for Native Americans. Wait a minute, where am I?
I thought it was Indiana.
I can just hear them. Oh God, by Jove, by golly, she is the biggest idiot we have ever seen in my own life. Oh no.
I can see Pakistan from my house.
Oh dear God, who made this booking? By Jove, I will crush them. Now, David, let's talk about the Indefensible Marriage Act. I understand a lot of people have been impatient on the left, but as you know, I'm the happy clappy liberal that's been saying we will get there on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Every civil rights battle has been a slog, and same thing on gay marriage, you know. So I think that we really, and you know, as you know, I talked about this, part of why I came out, as I said, I think we're at a real tipping point. We're at a critical mass on this issue in this country.
Well, I personally think you are the tipping point. I think you tipped it over.
Yes. It's all about me.
Eric Holder said, "Well, if Stephanie's done it, then my work here is
oh,
done."
Oh, damn it! We might as well give up the ghost now.
But here's the truth that you are already seeing. You're right. It is the public opinion has moved. It's gotten to the point where there is no appetite for this defense. And I've said this for years. Demographically, conservative Republican kids from, or 20-somethings from Georgia look at this and go, what the hell are you talking about? Why would we even care?
Kids years from now will be like, gay people didn't used to be able to get married? That is so queer. Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that is so queer. But there it is. It's over. And, you know, the fact that they are now finally, you know, supplying the burial to the defense, the Indefensible Marriage Act, it's still going to take some time. It's still going to go through the courts. We're still going to see this process. We still see states like New Hampshire and Iowa trying to undo the judicial. This is the dinosaur dies hard.
Yeah.
And that tail is, you know, is doing a lot of damage when it's going down. But it's going down. It's over.
Yep. And I think your point is well taken. That is that it's time for everybody to walk the dinosaur. I think that's what. Boom shakalakalaka. Boom.
Boom shakalaka.
I think I speak for all of us when I say boom shakalakalaka. David Bender, this has been as delightful as it always is, and I always go way too long with you. I'd like to spoon with you all morning if I could.
I will cuddle any time, any place, but the Koch brothers are flying me to Cali. So.
Just show you a good time after all this.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is that bribe with a capital B? I mean, it's on tape. Walker going, that would be outstanding.
It would be outstanding.
All right. Thank you, honey. See you next week.
See you next week.
All right. Boom shakalaka. Okay. 47.
I was going to come back with it.
All right.
All right.
We'll do that in a second. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Invited Chris Christie. Come on.
I'm not walking the dinosaur.
Hey, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, Steph and the Mook.
Hello.
What is up? Hey, you know what I got to say? Mika has a nice ass, but she is no Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I understand she didn't show up for work today. What? Where is that fine ass?
Hey, anyway, about the phone call between Governor Wanker and fake David Koch, or as I like to call him, New Koch.
Yes.
You know, besides,
hey!
Besides the really offensive content in the call, it was sick who really had the power in the conversation. Wanker was just totally sucking up to New Coke.
Yes, well,
and it was like,
he is
like
a Coke sucker, as you know.
Like, could I have more, sir? Thank you, sir.
Please, sir.
And it was really embarrassing.
Oh, how embarrassing was it that it seemed like the fake Coke brother wanted to get off the phone and Walker didn't want to let... No, I got another story. It's like, I'm just a prank caller. Can I go? I got other stuff to do.
Yeah, and it was a total reversal of what you would anticipate the power structure would be in a call like that. And
that
would
have been
emblematic of the whole problem.
That would have been, John, it would have been funny. I wish you would have told him at the end, yeah, you know what, I'd like to stay, but I got to get this on the internet, because I'm not really David Koch, you moron!
Exactly. And by the way, it was a real honor to follow David Bender.
Yes, all right.
I'll take his sloppy seconds anytime.
All right, thank you, honey. You remember our friend Brian Whitman, radio personality extraordinaire. He called Dan Quayle once as Bill Clinton, and that
really?
Was hilarious. Yeah, he played it on his radio. radio show. Oh. And that was the same thing. Went on 20 minutes. Because Dan Quayle, I don't know if you've ever heard this. Not that bright, really.
No, no.
Not that bright. But he told him at the end, and Dan Quayle was not happy.
Oh! Oh, dear.
He's like, yeah, this isn't really Bill Clinton.
And
by the way.
Huh.
Tom in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good, honey.
Listen, I wanted to let you know I do practice law in Wisconsin, and actually I don't have anything to say anymore. David Bender was spot on about the recall laws in Wisconsin. Everything he said was absolutely correct.
You have to wait a year, correct?
Yeah.
Just recap for us. For those who just tuned in, recap.
Sure. Yeah, you got to wait a year. Actually, 10 months when you can start collecting signatures. And that's one thing that people are confusing, because there are a lot of calls for people to start signing up now, and actually you can't officially.
Mm. Okay.
You've got to file the paperwork, and then you've got 60 days. But here's one thing that's important. If he were to win the recall, he's good for the rest of his term. You can only do one recall.
Right,
per
I've heard that.
Yeah, so you better take your best shot. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it has to be done well.
Yep, okay.
So that's it.
All right, thank you, honey. Steph and Madison on the same subject. Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah,
Stephanie.
Hey,
nice software.
Oh, man, I tell you. No, we started collecting recall signatures after the elections, but definitely last week, and my mom signed it, lifetime Republican. He's pissed her off.
Oh, yeah.
Don't piss off an 80-year-old Republican lady. They'll come after you.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, tell me, don't need to tell me. I just talked to my mother last weekend. Yeah, you know, that's the other thing, I think, in terms of a windsock, Chris, is that some Republicans are starting to say, this is not really looking right.
Yeah.
You're looking like the one that's not really, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm okay. Liking that.
Christopher in Rochester, New York.
Hey, Steffi.
Hey, Chris.
Rochester and Buffalo say hello to you today.
Woo!
I was listening
hello,
to
hometowns.
On your StephCast.
Thanks, honey. Go ahead.
How much is StephCast a month?
Oh, it's only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Mm. Can I be the official tax preparer of the Stephanie Miller Show for today?
Yes.
Wow, you're busy this time of year, ain't you?
Oh, my God. One thing I want to talk about, the Wisconsin 401k versus regular pension union stuff, don't fall for it, because exactly what happened during the Reagan administration, when they converted all these private pensions, remember companies like Kodak, companies that used to be really big up here?
Yep.
They converted those people over to 401ks. What is, when you do that, you raid the pension system, take the cash, and create all these new 401ks and have administrators over it. And that's how they take the money of the middle class.
Yeah.
This is nothing more than dismantling, a planned dismantling of the middle class.
Yeah, yep, exactly, absolutely. By the way, Urza Klein?
Ezra.
Sure.
There goes that Ezra Klein booking.
Like this... Like this headline, how long can Scott Walker hold out? The problem with trying to game out Scott Walker's negotiating style is the guy doesn't seem like much of a negotiator. Ezra writes, he's rejected every compromise that's been offered. The State Journal, a paper that endorsed Walker, has advised him to take a deal. David Brooks has criticized him for an unbalanced approach to cuts. Andrew Sullivan, whose initial position was sympathy for Walker, has turned. It's easy to imagine the prank Coke call getting a lot of attention in Wisconsin, looking like one more piece of evidence. The governor is approaching this as an ideologue rather than an executive.
Right.
The first nonpartisan poll suggests Walker's position isn't as popular as he and many others initially thought. A few days ago, the question was, how long can the Democrats hold out? Increasingly, it's how long can Walker hold out? Ezra Klein, our buddy, our pal. I think spot on this thus far.
I was thinking that exact same thing.
I know. That just, you can sort of feel it before you see, even before polls come out, you can feel it turn.
Yeah, you can, in every statement that Walker has made, he's kind of been searching for a way out of this, while the Democrats and the unions are just standing their ground.
Yeah.
And I'm loving that.
Right. And I mean, it's so funny. It's like, I loved how they used to be able to spin this Koch brothers thing. Oh, that's just some sort of left-wing conspiracy theory about the Koch brothers being behind some sort of vast right-wing conspiracy. It's like, okay. All right. Exhibit A. Prank call. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Carl Frisch to co-host Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show next.
Ladies
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mama has the smartest kids in class. Linda writes, Steph, if all the governors are in close contact, Republican governors, mm-hmm. and they're agreeing on what they're going to do to the state's labor unions, isn't that collective bargaining?
Why, yes, Linda, that is, with each other and the Koch brothers, not with, you know, anybody actually lives in their state.
Okay, Liz, a problem solver, a helper.
Oh.
Right, Steph, I'd be happy to pitch in for a GoToMeeting subscription for Scotty Wanker so he can conference the Wisconsin 14 in from anywhere, even Illinois. Why, yet another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph sponsors. Well, thank you, Liz. That's delightful. Don't forget to type Stephanie in the box. All right. As you know, I do believe children are the future. Keely writes, Steph, so I was driving to work yesterday morning with my little one, Jordan, in the back while listening to your show. Every time you said Wisconsin, he would crack up and immediately demand to hear it again. Wisconsin.
Huh.
You didn't disappoint until the show ended, which resulted in him throwing a random toy at the radio.
Hey, just like little Crystal Boy.
Jordan doesn't like it when the show ends. And he can't hear me say Wisconsin anymore.
I don't throw toys anymore.
I said little.
I just wanted to say thank you for making him laugh on a very long drive. It was a huge help with perfect timing. He requests you do it more often with Shanshan, and he would also love to hear more Yertle the Turtle. Jordan would. Mitch McLoveless.
Mitch McLoveless. He has the definite appearance of a turtle, and he tends to move very slowly, much in the manner of a turtle.
Oh, Jordan is peeing himself in the back seat there in Wisconsin.
That's even funnier on the Ustream video camera.
All right. Hey, look who's here. Yeah.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. WholeFightStrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. Can you guys wait a second? I'm asking Governor Walker if his refrigerator is running.
La, la, la. We can't get enough prank call humor.
I think we were
who
the...
else could call yeah. that could get right to the governor, really? I
yes.
mean, like, Richard Nolan Scaife, maybe, Sarah Palin, My Little Pony, Jesus Christ. I mean,
he's probably... The bad news is he's probably never going to take another call from any right-winger again.
Right.
You'll have to go through quite a process to prove it's them.
And not to toot our own horn, but we were the first radio show to play that audio yesterday.
See, we broke this story.
That's right.
Well, there you go. And you know what? It would not be unheard of to hear about a Republican politician, not using certain technologies anymore. I mean, we've already got one congressman who's left office and probably won't be using Craigslist ever again.
Yes. Technology not friendly to Republicans, apparently. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Brian Kilmeade on the Fox and Friends, a big thinker.
The country is out of cash, but President Obama is standing firm in his support of budget-busting unions. Could that come back to haunt him?
Oh, you idiot.
I mean, I just think of, you know, Dan Aykroyd during SNL. You know, Jane, you ignorant. There you go. I mean, it's just stupid. I mean, the big story here is getting the word out that Walker created this problem himself.
Yep.
When he walked into office, he had a surplus. And within a month and a half, he had a giant deficit.
Much like George Bush.
Yeah.
A month and a half. I mean, that is some busy work.
That is. That takes some doing.
Yeah.
You know, he probably wasn't on the phone much.
The point is, I mean, this phone call, obviously Democrats yesterday on the Senate, on the floor were saying it obviously proved that this has nothing to do with his assertion that, this is about the budget deficit. I mean, it's...
Well,
it's,
that press conference was like a case study. I would love to see it on, like, the actor's studio with James Lipton, because that was, defying all logic. He was like a character actor up there saying, well, you know, I'm not trying to trick them. You said you were going to trick them.
You said that was your whole plan.
Yeah.
If you were a tree, what sort of tree would you be?
What's your favorite curse word other than Democrat?
Ass, as in Mika Brzezinski's. All right.
Brooke Goldstein on Hannity.
I see this as a power grab. I think collective bargaining power is less about protecting the employees, more about stealing taxpayer money. Huh? And it results in a very unfair bargaining position. You literally have government on both sides of the table. I really don't understand what they're not getting.
You don't understand much of anything.
Yes, well, first of all, number one, the union members are taxpayers, you little dope. And number two... It's been laid so bare, even with this phone call, Carl, that the power grab is the Republicans in all these states that are colluding with the Koch brothers.
What they want to do is defund the Democratic Party, and they see unions as the first place to do that.
Yep.
What we need to tell people is, you want to know who public employees are? They're firefighters.
Right.
They're police officers. They're teachers.
Right.
And most people think those people should be paid more money. I mean, you know, this is the only time in that I can think of where the people that we call heroes, we're trying to scrimp around the edges to in terms of their payment and their benefits. If these people had their way, we would have been working in factories at 2 years old.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Is it me, Carl, or is Glenn Beck becoming a skosh unhinged?
Is it a little hard to deny that radicals, Islamicists, communists, socialists will work together against Israel, against capitalism, and they'll try to work together to overturn stability? Who in the media is telling you this? Who? Name them! Oh. How can they possibly deny it at this point? Protests become contagious. Can you deny this anymore?
Oh,
they'll cascade. They will sweep the Middle East. And they will begin to destabilize Europe and the rest of the world. Tell me what the hell Madison is. What the hell is this? What? It's the unions. What? Poking, pushing, prodding. They will lose because they don't know who you are.
Wow, somebody get him an aspirin.
Wow. Oh, my God. Holy moly moly.
Cascading teachers.
I wish you would have played a little bit more audio, because I really like where he gets in Bilderberg and the Illuminati.
Wow, that was
he really knows that issue like nobody else. And when he starts talking about the four people that run the world, I mean,
how can you not get it, Carl, that Madison is part of the Islamo-commie socialist Islam caliphate takeover?
Well, you know, he is talking about Madison, the founding father.
Oh, okay.
He believes that, you know, he was at Disneyland and saw the animatronic founding fathers and thought that they were real.
Oh.
It's not his fault.
You know, it takes a brain trust like Megyn Kelly and Monica Crowley to put in perspective the president and the defensive marriage bill.
Defensive Marriage Act, which declares marriage defines marriage as between a man and a woman, signed by President Clinton, they have declared that is unconstitutional and said that they are no longer going to enforce it.
It's beyond belief, Megan. To me, that is a form of dictatorship. That is Mubarak Obama. I mean, that is,
Mubarak,
you can't
Obama?
And choose which law you're going to enforce when you're president of the United States or the attorney general.
Wow. Yeah, they're so bright over there.
You
should be careful calling them a brain trust, by the way, because they might quote you out of context.
Didn't President Obama take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States?
Yes.
And if he finds a law that is he says unconstitutional, then he doesn't have to defend that, right?
Based on recent rulings,
What they did was lie there. DOMA is still being enforced.
Right.
Yes.
It's still being enforced.
Yes.
What he said is, we will not defend it in court any longer on the grounds that it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
Well, yes, and if they had listened to the president's Carney, by the way,
right.
Jay Carney.
It is also important to note that the enforcement of the Defense of Marriage Act continues. The president is constitutionally bound to enforce the laws, and enforcement of the DOMA will continue.
Oh, I'm sure she just missed that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they didn't even bother to listen. But, you know, at the end of the day here, they often say that this president ran as a moderate and he's governing as a liberal. No, he ran as a liberal, and he said that he thought that this was unconstitutional. I don't know why everybody's on the right is so surprised. I think on the left we're probably surprised and gratified.
Right.
But I don't know why anybody on the right would be surprised that his view is that this is unconstitutional.
Yep.
And it's certainly not unique for the president or the Attorney General or the Department of Justice to quit defending laws that they don't agree with.
Yep. All right. Stephen Moore on Hannity on the situation in Libya.
What's really despicable about this is that for years and decades, the left has sort of apologized for Gaddafi. And,
what?
And when you have a leader that's firing on their own citizens, you know, it reminds me of Hungary in 1958. I mean, that's the kind
56.
Of imagery that it evokes. And I agree with you, Dana. Where is our national indignation against these acts? I mean, we should be, I think we should be standing up for these peace protests.
Let me get.
First of all, you're confusing Hungary in 56 and Prague in 68.
Oh, boy.
Well, and, you know, it's as if they've forgotten about Pol Pot. I mean, the right wing, I think you'd find pretty much collective agreement on the left that dictatorships are bad and that people power
yes.
movements are good. On the right, it's, well, how bad is the dictatorship for corporations? How
yep.
bad is the dictatorship for American interests? You know, and you see a clear divide on the right on issues like this when you compare people like him to people like Glenn Beck.
Yeah.
You know, Glenn Beck sees this as bad, and most of the right sees it as good. And
they're not even good at recent history. Weren't they the ones that wanted to prop Mubarak up?
Uh-huh.
And then I'm
right.
like, wait a minute. Since when does the left love Gaddafi? Where are you? What are you basing that on?
Well, because he had to deal with Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Really? All right.
All right. Fitness expert Rush Limbaugh off to close.
It doesn't matter what we eat, but how much.
Oh.
Well, okay, fine. But Michelle Obama is trying to tell us what we can and can't eat.
No, she's not.
Not how much. And the point is, it just, if you're going to tell everybody to eat twigs and berries and gravel and all this other stuff.
That's what she said, exactly.
You had better look like an Ethiopian.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, dear.
Yes, that's what she called the campaign, isn't it, Jim? The Let's Eat Gravel campaign, something.
Well, he's upset because let's face it, there's not a helicopter big enough to drop a meal on him.
Carl Frisch, closing with a zinger. Thank you, Carl. See you next week.
Have a good weekend.
There he goes. Yay. 18 minutes after the hour.
Oh, my God.
not even the helicopter they used in the Dennis Leary movie Dumbo Drop.
Operation Dumbo
Operation
Drop.
Dumbo
Thank
Drop.
You. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This is what birthday of this song?
30 seconds.
This song is 32 years old today.
I watched it for the first time in Germany on one of the rock shows, Musikladen or something.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in a brothel. Okay.
What?
I thought you were going to say in a brothel. No. Oh, 23 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Dave in Long Beach. You're
Couldn't
on
afford
the
one of those days.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. Everybody's talking about recall, but am I wrong? But this is the state official most responsible for upholding public safety, and by his own admission, he actively considered fomenting public disorder
yeah.
that could have resulted in bodily harm to his citizens.
That's
Why
right.
Why is he not behind bars?
Yeah, yep. No, I hear you. Exactly. And as I was saying earlier, mm-hmm. and the only reason he decided not to do it because it might not work politically, not because it might be wrong in any way, or I don't know, kids might get hurt or something. Christine in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Christine. Hello.
I'm so happy to call and report that I was listening, and I heard the clip on Rush Limbaugh, and he was saying, and you can play it back because I couldn't believe that he said it. He said that Michelle Obama is telling people they should eat twigs and berries.
Yes.
And one of the, okay, twigs and berries, we all know what that reference is. Maybe she's got a little crush on her, and that's a little bit of a slip showing up there.
Or maybe he's referring to the fact that he hasn't seen his in many, many years because he's, oh! All right. As you know, we broke
I was going to slip her my twig and berries, my friends, but I couldn't find them.
I was called off after a long search. Search was finally
called
off at dawn. So we broke the prank call story. You know, we played the audio here on the Stephanie Miller Show first. The prank caller pretending to be David Koch, having that lengthy, oh, just casually discussing crushing unions in the United States of America with David Koch. He also joked, a funny joke, because they're always about violence, about bringing a baseball bat to a meeting with Democratic leaders, because that's violence. Oh, it's funny. By the by, they have given us a history of prank calls. As we know, one of the famous ones, Sarah Palin, as you recall, she took a call from what she thought was the French president.
That's right. Sarkozy, not Mitterrand.
I did not know this one. Queen Elizabeth, in 1995, spent 15 minutes on the phone with someone she believed to be the Canadian prime minister.
Hey, your majesty, eh? I think I'm going to send you a serviette. I think you spilled your shepherd's pie on the Chesterfield, eh?
The queen, perhaps. Sluttier than smart. I don't know. The same Canadian DJ also called the Pope, was able to get on the phone with the Pope by posing as the same Canadian prime minister. But the Pope knew something was up when the prime minister asked him about putting a toy propeller on his hat.
Oh.
Can't get anything by the Pope. That's not a Pope question.
All right, which Pope was that?
Pope John Paul.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. All right. Speaking of breaking news, Rolling Stone reporting something that apparently they're saying is probably going to explode on the cable news today. Rolling Stone says Army deployed PSYOPs to influence senators. A report in Rolling Stone suggests the U.S. Army deployed a specialized psychological operations team to target senators in the hopes of boosting funding for the war in Afghanistan.
And increased troop levels.
Ordered by three-star General Lieutenant General William Caldwell is what they're reporting. Among those targeted senators, John McCain, Joe Lieberman, Jack Reed, Al Franken. Al Franken, too smart for me.
Yeah.
Carl Levin, as well as Representative Steve Israel. So watch for that story.
Oh.
Developing.
Shiny keys. Yes.
Yeah, John McCain.
Money to Afghanistan. Oh, shiny. Shiny, happy keys. Kill, kill, die, die. More. What? Where am I? Who? What?
All right.
What? Get off my lawn!
that story, as Tom Brokaw would say, is...
Only Chris?
Developing.
All developing. As a developing.
Okay, Mark in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
I like a bad infomercial or a bad TV show, I do have to listen to Glenn Beck and Rush for like 5 minutes
every day. Yes.
And yesterday he said, Glenn Beck, after he did his rant, did this verbatim, he said there's ultimately two faces of evil. And he paused for 3 minutes before he said it, so it was true. He said the first face is... Ahmadinejad, and he gets his evil through oppression. The second face is the Muslim Brotherhood through social justice and Van Jones.
The green jobs.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sure. That's a straight line there. Keith in Illinois. Hello, Keith.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Luke.
Hi, go ahead.
My morning routine, I listen to you and I sit and watch, look on CNN, Interactive that I get on Dish Network.
Mm-hmm.
And their take on this, prank call story is that it says that Murphy's website, the Beast or whatever, says the website also claims that Murphy posing as Koch suggested planting some troublemakers among the people. And, it says, and that, however, in an audio recording of what Murphy claimed was the phone call, only Murphy's voice can be heard. That's what CNN is claiming.
What?
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
That's not true.
We played the audio.
We played the actual audio, and he said, yeah, I thought of that.
Holy
but then
crap.
I decided not to, is what Walker said. All right.
Wow. CNN's trying to outfox Fox.
Terry O'Sullivan, president of LIUNA, not the country, the labor union. Next, to talk about the situation in Wisconsin and elsewhere as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh my God, that's
Stephanie Miller.
It's like meeting Mickey Mouse and Walt Disney at the same time.
That's enough. 34 minutes.
Uncle Walt is probably compiling an FBI file on you.
All right. We are joined now by our good friend Terry O'Sullivan, president of LIUNA, which is the Laborers International Union of North America. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie. And you should mention a damn proud sponsor, the Stephanie Miller.
That's right.
Oh, thank you. I had the privilege of speaking to y'all in Miami a while back. And I got to tell you, Terry, you and I have spoken before, but, I mean, this is really such a critical time. We're at such a tipping point with what's going on in Wisconsin and elsewhere. We've got to get your quick take on this.
Well, it's ground zero, Stephanie. I mean, I'll tell you what, this is one of the most brazen attacks on working men and women that we've seen in our lifetime. But what's encouraging, Ian, is what we're seeing in all these states is the most powerful, unified response by working people in our lifetime. It started in Wisconsin, but Ohio and Michigan and New Hampshire, Republican governors across the country tried to enact right to work, anti-prevailing wage, anti-PLA, and trying to take collective bargaining rights away from public employees.
Yep.
So we're in for the fight of our lifetime. American labor movement, working people in the middle class are up to it. And I'm encouraged by what's going on the ground, not only in Wisconsin, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, and a lot of the other battleground states.
Terry, I was saying that I hope that this means the unions come back bigger and stronger than ever. One person on the ground in Wisconsin said something I love. He said, if you gave us $1 million, we couldn't have taught kids this much about the power of organizing, of solidarity, of unions. I mean, this is almost like a textbook case what's happening in Wisconsin.
It sure is, Stephanie. In a sick, kind of twisted, perverted way, Scott Walker and John Kasich from the governor of Ohio and others did us a favor. I'll tell you what, the American labor movement, working people in this country have had enough. They poked one too many times with a stick, and the reaction that you're seeing starting in Wisconsin and other places, to me, is encouraging about the middle class, about the working class, and about the future of the American labor movement, because people are fed up.
Well, now, I know that LIUNA launched, at your behest, launched this Build America So America Works campaign. I mean, the other thing that I think people in Wisconsin are seeing, that, not only are they, whether it's Ohio, Wisconsin, they're killing the train, which would bring all this infrastructure and jobs, but now, we find this latest thing is this bill could lose them almost $50 million in federal funds if they pass this bill.
Yeah, I mean, if this is an anti-union bill, as you've said, we all know. I mean, let's say this guy comes into office. Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine called him the Mubarak of the Midwest. he comes into office, and one of the first things he does is gives $100 million tax break. They had a reasonable budget. Their budget deficit was very small. He takes office, gives $100 million tax break to corporations and the rich, and then proclaims that he has $137 million shortfall. Unbelievable. And then the public employees in the great state of Wisconsin already agreed to the concessions on their health care and their pension, but that's not enough because the real intent here is to destroy unions in the state of Wisconsin, is to take collective bargaining laws away from them. So he's been uncovered for what he is and what this is really all about.
I mean, how funny that the labor union in America could be saved by a prank phone call. I mean, but this just laid bare that, the only people he's bargaining with are the Koch brothers and other Republican governors.
Well, those are the ones that helped put him in office, Stephanie, so I guess it comes as no surprise that he's going to cozy up with guys like the Koch brothers. But I think he's met his match. I know he's met his match. So,
now, Terry, you're unique in a sense. I mean, obviously, there's all these stories about, the union, membership is declining. LIUNA has shown steady and consistent growth. I mean, do you agree with me that this could maybe, wake the sleeping giant, this whole story that elected Barack Obama?
Well, I think it has awoken the sleeping giant. I don't know if the people in this country, whether they're union members, the working class in this country are getting humped and have for some time. And I think the spark that has lit the fire, not only of the labor movement, but of the working class movement in this country is Wisconsin and Ohio and Indiana and the other battleground states. And I think what you are seeing is a reemergence of the labor movement and a reemergence of the fight in the working class people in this country to say we need to take our states back, we need to take the agenda in Washington back, and we need to do what's right for working people, and the hell with corporate America. The most valuable asset we have in this country isn't Wall Street, it ain't corporate America, it's working men and women.
That's right. Well, you know, one of the things I love about La Union is some of your workers are in, they get rid of hazardous waste, and in many, like for instance, the Bush administration, and I know that, you know, this is going to be the fight of our life in 2012, particularly after Citizens United, right?
That's correct. So that's, you know, we have everything at stake here. You know, thank God we have Barack Obama as the president of the United States. The fight and resolve of the American labor movement and working people is being exemplified, you know, in Wisconsin. And I have to tell you that, you know, I got word just a little while ago before I got on the show that right to work is dead in Ohio. Right to work wow. is dead in Indiana. In New Hampshire, they didn't get the they won it in the House, but they didn't get the two-thirds votes needed to override the governor's veto, who said he will veto right to work. So I'll tell you what, we're on a roll. The things that are happening on the ground are impacting these governors, these Republican legislatures, and this is only the beginning, Stephanie, as you said.
Well, I mean, and listen, public opinion polls in Wisconsin are, you know, showing the people firmly behind the workers. I think Americans just have a basic sense of fairness here that, you know, he has been totally exposed. This having nothing to do with, you know, with the budget.
In the USA Today Gallup poll yesterday, Stephanie, 61% of the public now favor the right to collectively bargain. I'll tell you, you know, the Republicans in Washington are going to overreach. Scott Walker and his cronies throughout these states are overreaching, and people are reacting and responding to it.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and look, I mean, I try to explain this as a layperson, Terry, but, you know, I was saying, first of all, none of this has anything to do with the unions. As you say, he caused the deficit himself coming in. But secondly, you know, I mean, I think this is the deal we made with our teachers, with our any of these workers. Workers, you know, and we said, okay, we're going to pay you this now, right? So that down the road, you're going to get this. Well, now, you know, so in one sense, first of all, we're screwing them. And secondly, they're going, okay, but we understand times are tough. We're still going to make the concessions. And he is the one being painted now as completely intransigent because he's not even taking that.
But that's right. Public employees in Wisconsin, as we said earlier, Stephanie, have already agreed to what he was looking for.
Yep.
In Ohio, public employees have already taken $300 million in pay and benefit cuts.
Yep.
They're trying to portray organized labor and public sector unions as being unreasonable. And who's being unreasonable here is not public employee unions. Who's being unreasonable is Scott Walker and these other Republican governors throughout the Midwest and throughout the battleground states.
Well, I'm proud to be fighting the good fight with you, my friend, President Terry O'Sullivan of the Labor's International Union in North America. Terry, thanks so much for your time.
Keep up the fight, Stephanie, and thanks for having me on.
All right, we will. There he goes.
Proud sponsor of the Stephanie Miller Newscast.
Hello. Thank you. Who broke the Scott Walker prank call yesterday? This newscast did. And now the breaking news. Budget referees and transportation officials in Wisconsin, as we've been saying all morning, have informed Governor Walker if he were to pass this anti-union legislation into law, he could be forfeiting tens of millions of dollars in federal funds for transportation. You explain that to the taxpayers of Wisconsin.
Yep.
Under a provision of federal labor law, states risk losing federal funds should they eliminate collective bargaining rights that existed at the time when the federal assistance was first granted. As I mentioned earlier, a call to Walker's office not returned. Why, Jim? Because they didn't say they were a Koch brother.
Right.
How hard is it to get through to? It's pretty easy. Faced with the prospects of forfeiting $46.6 million in federal transit fund, Democrats in the Wisconsin House have crafted an amendment to his anti-public union bill that would protect collective bargaining rights strictly for transit workers. He's not showing any indication he's going to negotiate on that.
That's right.
I mean, so it's this is pretty clear what's going on. By the way, so the other story, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker facing criticism. He gave no warning of such a dramatic plan during his governor's race. Walker has forcefully challenged that contention. He said, the simple matter is I campaigned on this all the way through the election. No.
Computer says no.
And in addition, you are lying.
You're lying, yes. Sack of crap.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Which, by the way, once again, proved as much in this prank call when he said, oh, we're going to drop the bombshell. We dropped the bombshell when at whatever point he was talking about. The first public hint Walker gave he was considering eliminating union bargaining rights was December 7th. That was 4 weeks after the
Pearl
election.
Harbor Day.
Yeah.
Interesting.
4 weeks after the election. I mean, and nothing he's saying is standing up to scrutiny. He said, to protect our schools, to protect our local governments, we need to give them the tools they've been asking for, not just for years, but for decades. The director of the Wisconsin Association School District Administrator said, our position is we've sought significant modifications in bargaining laws, but we've never sought to eliminate collective bargaining rights. I mean, every story he's throwing out there is just getting... Turner added the association actually prefers the unions have collective bargaining because in its established system where everybody knows how it works and they all have a seat at the table. He also said he thinks the governor made a mistake by exempting fire, police and fire unions from his edict, once again laying bare that this is just completely about politics. In a completely unrelated story, by the way, Koch Industries and its employees and subsidiaries spent $1.2 million in the last election.
Huh, what?
Helping to elect Republican governors who are now trying to take away the bargaining rights of state workers. Yeah, Koch Group, these Koch suckers, the American for Prosperity, they're just one of many, many Koch-sucking groups.
Mm-hmm. Americans for Posterity?
Prosperity.
Oh, okay.
They organized a rally on February 19th.
Americans
set
for Posteriors.
They set up...
Well, Mika Brzezinski.
That's, well, David Koch is clearly... when it involves Mika Brzezinski's. They organized a rally February 19th, set up a website, and announced an ad campaign in support of Governor Walker. Wow! This is a very well-financed, well-coordinated assault on labor unions, said one somebody from Public Citizen. If they can break the backs of organized labor, they will accomplish a great deal toward deregulating American society.
And fascism. Literally fascism.
Exactly.
By the way, the first Germans Hitler put in concentration camps, trade unionists.
Yes. Before Jews and Gypsies, we noted that yesterday and guessed the quote. 46 minutes after
Where
the
was I?
You were guessing the wrong thing.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you never think about the real answer on Guess Your Quote. Come on. It just sails right over your head.
You were thinking of
obscure philosophers or
something.
Baroque composers.
Oh, it's missed the important point of Guess Quote. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Nonstop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Woo-hoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, the president on the situation in Libya.
The suffering and bloodshed is outrageous, and it is unacceptable. So are threats and orders to shoot peaceful protesters and further punish the people of Libya.
All right. By the way,
I thought you were talking about Wisconsin.
I was going to go there, too, but I didn't. Sarah Palin is criticizing the president on Libya.
You betcha.
Why?
She said it's a little perplexing looking at the White House today. Oh, if you want clarity on foreign policy, just read any Sarah Palin statement. Could we still find that one? What was that? Was that one on Egypt? Remember that whole word salad? That was stunning. It's a little perplexing. Nothing on the slaughter in Libya? Which I, the president, just maybe she missed all the stuff.
That we played.
Now is the time to speak out. Speak out for the long-suffering Libyan people. We should not be afraid of freedom, especially when it comes to people suffering under a brutal enemy of America. Okay.
So when did he endorse that?
Oh, my
God. President Obama endorse that?
She's going to India. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. Hmm. Hope she can find it on a map.
Exactly. She'll go on. She'll look at a Fox map, and she'll end up on a Dakota reservation. And. I'm so happy to be here to talk to the Indian people. And they'll just be like, oh, my God. Oh, by Jove, this she is such a dummy. All right. Are you furiously looking for her?
I have it.
You do?
Yes.
Would you like to read it?
Do you want me to?
Sure. Go ahead.
This is a difficult situation. This is that 3 a.m. White House phone call, and it seems for many of us trying to get that information from our leader in the White House, and it seems that that call went right to the answering machine. And nobody has yet to explain the American public what they know, and surely they don't. They know more than the rest of us know who it is and who will be taking the place of Mubarak. And I'm not real enthused about what it is that is being done on the national level and from D.C. in regards to understanding all the situation there in Egypt. It goes
on.
Oh,
my. Okay, I think that's probably good.
That was the first sentence. Seriously, that was one sentence.
Like all governments, the Libyan government has a responsibility to refrain from violence, to allow humanitarian assistance to reach those in need, and to respect the rights of its people.
Also, too, I don't think there's enough being done about what is done of doing this, Sputnik.
All right. Oh,
the same message, by the way, has been delivered by the European Union, the Arab League, the African Union, the Organization of the Islamic Conference, and many individual nations.
I don't think you should be listening to foreign people at their conscience talk. And
also, too, he mentioned Europe, socialist. Mm. Okay. By the way, so did you see the story yesterday that is Gaddafi losing it just now? He is acting like one of those crazy mafia guys with the umbrella hat and the, I don't know, whatever. But he, what was his statement yesterday? He said the violence is being caused by drunkards and terrorists and drug-addicted mice.
And lions and tigers and bears.
I swear to God, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the one on acid. He's, I don't, drug-addicted mice? I don't, what? All right, the president.
I've also asked my administration to prepare the full range of options that we have to respond to this crisis. This includes those actions we may take and those we will coordinate with our allies and partners, or those that we'll carry out through multilateral institutions.
All right, and the president's carny.
Jay Carney, the
yes,
press secretary.
Exactly.
The safety of American citizens is obviously of concern to the president, as it should be.
All right. Let's go to Jennifer in Rochester. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Lou.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
I heard something on the radio, not on your show, obviously, but they were saying that, look, so, you know, sorry about what's going on with Scott Walker, but this is who they elected.
Yeah, and, well, I think they probably couldn't be sorrier because there's a lot of serious talk of recall already. I mean, because he didn't run on this, Jennifer. That's the problem. He didn't run on what he's doing.
That's what I'm thinking, and it's just like, but on the other hand, yeah, they didn't go with a Democrat. What did they expect?
Yeah, well, I don't think they expected it to be this bad, to be quite honest. That's why there's the uproar there is. Dan in St. Louis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mama. Can I be the official 35-year teamster of your show?
Yeah!
Boy, howdy. Bring it.
Yeah. I thought Ian Murphy was just a genius, and Scott Walker showed what an egotistical moron he is, because Murphy, he would just give him like one line, like, how are things going down there? And Scott Walker couldn't wait to vomit all of this information out.
I know.
And that's the way the whole conversation was. It was a riot.
I know. Yeah, it was. It was hilarious. Did you see, Jim, the prankster's trying to get off the phone and Walker's...
Yeah.
You know, no, wait, I've got one more story. Listen, I got to get this on the internet. Could you could you hurry it up? Jason in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Jason.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I just had a question about, so we obviously, all of us know that this is about labor unions and not about the budget. But if we choose, let's just play along for a minute and pretend that this is about the budget. What do we do? We still have identified that it's more about, what about creating tax revenue that hasn't been utilized yet? For example, legalizing drugs and maybe even marijuana, specifically marijuana, as a way to create the tax revenue that we're short.
That was a good point. It took you a little while to get there. Are you high, Jason?
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, that's okay.
I'm
no worries.
Around. To be fair, I've been on hold for 30 minutes. Wait,
that's all right. No, it's a good idea. Thank you, Jason.
Although, you know, marijuana's been legalized here in California, and we still have a huge deficit. So it's not the, you know, be-all and end-all.
Dude,
cure-all.
I was thinking
but
that
the feds keep intervening, though. They keep busting these marijuana clinics because they say the federal law supersedes the California law. So.
And by the way, anybody that says that it affects you mentally is...
It's supposed to make you, like, lose your...
Where was I?
Okay, Rocky in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Rocky. Hey, Rock, go ahead.
I just wanted to address this whole teacher situation. I'm so tired of hearing people saying that teachers are greedy. My wife is a teacher. She's a first-year teacher. Before this, she was waiting tables part-time, and she made more money flinging burgers part-time.
Yes, yes.
Working full-time.
Exactly, and she's got to buy school supplies, right?
She's got to buy school supplies. She works 60 hours a week. She takes home about $600 a week.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do the math.
Yeah, Listen, I have done the math. I don't know how you do it. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm just chuckling at my own Facebook page.
Yeah.
We put it's a clip of Jim pretending to do a 1920s newsreel. Why? I don't know, just because it's funny.
I have an app on my iPhone that makes video look like it's from the 1920s or the 1960s or the 70s or...
Because Jim does Jimprovisation sometimes.
That's right.
It makes me laugh.
And I just adjusted my voice so I sounded like an announcer from the 1920s.
That's very funny.
Hey, we should do one of those high school educational film strips for Governor Wenker, shouldn't we?
We should.
On the history of labor and maybe taking prank phone calls.
Is there an app for that? For the, like a jumping high school?
Yes. Actually, oh, cool. I do have one.
Yeah. Neat.
Yes. Awesome.
The app is called 8MM, so if you want to search for that on iTunes Store, yes.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Like, listen, as you know, I'm a woman way, way ahead of my time. A lot of drunk stack today. Another one of these stories, Jim. Alcohol in moderation can help prevent heart disease. Of course it can.
See, it told you.
Alcoholic drink a day can keep heart disease at bay, according to a review of 30 years of research. I've been doing about 30 years of research.
By drink, you mean some glass container of some kind. Preferably
sure.
750 milliliters.
British, a study in the British Medical Journal showed a 14 to 25% reduction in heart disease in moderate drinkers compared with people who've never drunk alcohol.
Mm.
Another article by the same Canadian research group showed alcohol increased good cholesterol levels.
Canadian research, eh?
Well, of course.
You think beer's good, eh? By the way, can I have my Russian music? Beer is going to be classified as alcohol for the first time in Russia. They have a bit of a drinking situation there.
So they never considered it alcohol before?
It was soft drink. It was like Coca-Cola.
It's a food. It was classified as a foodstuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
It was classified as Mountain Dew.
Mountain what?
Dew.
A new Kremlin-backed bill will abolish beer's special status, dragging Russian alcohol regulation into the 21st century. Good luck with that. All right. Hey. This is where a drunk stack meets a future husband stack.
Oh, what is for breakfast? Vodka. Okay. Vodka and blini.
Vodka. It's not just for breakfast anymore. Vodka and blini.
Which vodka goes best with blini?
Just saying yet. A Rhode Island doctor is accused of driving his SUV into a liquor store while drunk. Well, at least there was a doctor there.
Yeah.
Is there a doctor here? I think I'm hurt.
Is there a doctor in the house? Oh, yeah.
After breaking the door, the video shows him trying to get a beer off the counter, and when his arm isn't long enough to reach it, he leaves the scene.
Oh. Oh.
Men don't know what to do when a wife can't get it for them. I can't reach it hand. Doesn't work.
At least he knew when to give up.
All right, I can't. All right, and this I don't recommend. Driver hid meth pipe in his beer bottle. No. Don't put it in the open container. No. Deputies say a Yuba City, California driver tried to hide a methamphetamine pipe inside an open bottle of beer. Clever.
Wow.
Deputies pulled him over. He had an open bottle of beer in the car. When the deputy went to pour the beer out, a meth pipe fell out. Because that was clever. That seems like a good idea when you're drunk. Nice. Now, where should I hide the meth pipe? Should I hide the meth?
Doesn't it?
I know. They'll never find it in the beer.
They'll never find it in Yuba City.
Wouldn't the beer in the beer bottle ruin the meth pipe?
Oops.
I mean, doesn't a meth pipe have to be
I don't
dry?
Know. Anybody listening from a meth lab like to call us? And
not that I'm an expert or anything, but it would stand to reason.
My goodness. All right. You know, as you know, I'm torn between two lovers.
I've heard that.
Keith Olbermann and Lawrence O'Donnell. The Hollywood Reporter notes the recent ratings for Lawrence O'Donnell's show down 22% from Olbermann's ratings in December of 2010 and down 10% from the same period a year ago. Hollywood Reporter says the ratings for Rachel Maddow's show have stayed unchanged. I say yay for both of them. It takes time. Those are big shoes to fill. I love both of them. I don't know what's going to happen when current TV gets on, though.
God, this was an awful song.
Ugh.
Oh.
By the way, Keith has dropped hints he's going to be expanding his Fox News Twitter, that thing, into
F-O-K?
A website. F-O-K.
Yeah.
Yes. He tweeted.
Starring Robert De Niro.
Proud to announce coming very soon your Fox News Channel website. It's very exciting. Are you going to stop playing that?
Well, talking about your other man.
Speaking of Twitter, did you see Michelle Malkin? After a fake Twitter fight, Michelle Malkin has a real fight to prove she's not stupid. I'm not stupid. You're stupid.
You're
I knew
stupid.
It wasn't the real Rahm Emanuel. I'm not stupid.
Noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin?
Yes. All right.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Take care now.
Gotta go back.
Bye-bye then.
Loser.
Oh, God, must I? Yes, we had more Lindsay Lohan. We broke the Lindsay Lohan news yesterday.
You know.
Kim Jong-il was bereft.
Lindsay Lohan, you could be exiled to North Korea. Well, I'm saying exile.
Can the judge do that? Can the judge sentence her to hard labor in North Korea like those reporters? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think he has that much leeway.
No.
However, he did. He gave her till March 10th to accept a plea deal in a grand larceny case. It's that the unpleasantness about the necklace.
Oh.
This case does involve
grand
jail time.
Grand larceny involving a necklace.
The case does involve jail time, period. The judge said, if you plead in front of me, you are going to jail. She's apparently for now sticking to her I'm innocent claims and will go to trial.
If you plead, you go to jail.
I'm just saying.
Come to Pyongyang.
That might, exactly. That might scare her straight. Some real prison time and not these cushy celebrity prisons here in L.A. All right. Larry King is preparing to hit the road as a stand-up comic.
What? Oh, boy.
I would pay cash money.
So I'm in the deli.
I got it for free during commercial breaks when I was on Larry King.
He was like a Catskills comedian, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, it was hilarious. He's saying show tunes to me and hair and makeup. I miss it. He plans to give his fans a hilarious and insightful look at his life and career, followed by a question and answer session. You know me, that's what I always get away with, question and answer.
That's right.
Time killer. It's good.
Okay, that was my time.
Yeah, you're at a 5-minute speech
another
and then
20 minutes.
Oh, on a cocktail, on a Chardonnay-soaked cocktail napkin. Oh dear, the Queen is not amused with Fergie. Fergie was not invited to the
not
royal
black
wedding.
Not black-eyed peas
no,
Fergie.
No, Sarah Ferguson right. was not invited to the upcoming royal wedding.
I would prefer the other Fergie. She's less controversial.
Oh, see, that'd be funny if she invited the pea and not yeah. the... The snub even more embarrassing because her daughters are invited and are going
oh,
to attend.
Dear.
A royal watcher says in the decade and a half since her divorce from Prince Andrew, she has caused some drama that the Queen could do without.
I could do without the drama. I've caused plenty of drama on my own, without her help. Although I've not been caught having my toes sucked. By Dick Morris or anyone else.
What?
By the way, someone asked, where did that The Queen is a Skank Biscuit meme come from?
I have no
idea.
In the
Jim Ward's Gymprovisations?
Yes.
And it was based on something Prince Philip said
Prince
a long time ago.
Philip, yeah, apparently intimated that, good lord, that woman is insatiable.
Yes, so, when they were newly married, she was insatiable.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
It's been noised about that I'm a bit of a slut. Nothing could be further from the truth.
By
I'm
the way,
whore.
Everybody stop sending me the picture where it looks like Philip farted and the Queen has the funny look
yeah,
on her face.
That.
I get it. I get it. I know. Yes, it does look like he farted. Thank you. I've seen that.
Saw it
wasn't
a lot
that a
5 years ago,
skit?
Actually.
Oh, by the way, you know who sent it to me among many, many other people?
Who?
Rachel Maddow's daddy. He likes the fart humor. No wonder he enjoys our show. It's not the kind of thing. He probably sent it to Rachel. She's like, Dad, I don't do that kind of stuff on my show. Okay.
She's like,
do you watch my show?
She's like, Dad, I'm a Rhodes Scholar.
Dad, what do you think? I'm
Stephanie Miller.
Go send that to Stephanie Miller. She'll use it. And she was right. I did.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber asked Rihanna out on a date, and she said no because he's a toddler. I don't know.
A toddler who looks like Rachel Maddow.
Actually.
Exactly. Who is a lesbian that looks like Justin Bieber. Yes. What?
Well, especially with Justin Bieber's new haircut. Oh, that. Uh-huh. The internet is abuzz with Justin Bieber got his haircut. Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Okay, let's move on.
You don't go on the internet, do
I'm
you?
Just going to start one of those fights we frequently have here because there's another what's the best burger in the world thing on. This is on my...
Umami burger.
That's what they're saying! It couldn't possibly be better than my In-N-Out.
It is better than In-N-Out.
That's what I'm being told.
Umami. It is. Umami
better
burger.
Than my Shake Shack burger in New York?
There's an umami right near you, Stephanie. I'll take you there.
Oh,
really?
On La Brea, yes. I heard.
I've never heard of it.
Well, that's the original one, but there's one over in Silver Lake and Los Feliz and in Hollywood.
That's what they're saying. Uh-huh. Bye-bye, In-N-Out, Fatburger, Bob's Big Boy, Tommy's. Oh.
Umami burger is so good.
All right.
They don't appear to have any in the valley.
No,
so I wouldn't have seen it.
Jim has already Googled it. Does he do any research for anything else? No.
No. The closest one to you is probably Santa Monica.
He's already got MapQuest printed out for Umami Burger.
I'm heading there now. See you later.
Bye-bye. Thanks for coming.
It's really, really good.
Really?
Michelle Obama
Why?
Is forcing me to eat umami burgers.
Yes.
Well, do you know what umami is?
No.
It's the Japanese fifth taste. Uh-huh. And mushrooms have
like
it, and, you know, caramelized onions have it. And so they do everything to put umami into the burger.
Oh.
They
really?
Grind it. Yes.
I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
Wow.
Can
it's
I just say, I've always thought Tommy Burger sucked. I have one in my stomach from 1979 when my first year at USC.
I thought the...
it's... Like lead.
I thought the grasshoppers took care of that. It's like stomach pump in a bottle. Or a glass, I guess.
All right. I know. You know what music I need. Sharon Stone's infamous leg-crossing scene in Basic Instinct, Jim. I'm sure you know this.
I
has been named
that.
The most pause moment in movie history.
Yes,
I wore out the pause button on my VCR.
Sure, Mrs. Ward come home. Oh, is that where I stopped the movie? That's just where I fell asleep. I didn't want to.
Of course.
There's something wrong with the remote. It just keeps sticking on that one scene. I don't understand.
I love this. The scene in which she's apparently not wearing underwear.
Apparently? I think we know for a fact.
Yeah. Apparently? Really? It topped the poll of must-see moments. Second in the list of clips, popular and pause. You probably have this one too, Squeezy.
Hmm?
Squeezy has a library.
Oh, yes.
He probably just has like a whole bank of VCRs so he can just pause a bunch of different movies.
VCRs?
I don't know. Whatever.
I do have one still.
Do you?
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez is naked bottom in the 2010 film The Backup Plan.
Oh.
Apparently.
Back that gorgeous butt up
in there. Yeah, apparently she backed that up, Jiggles. And that's got some jiggles in it. That must have been widescreen.
Hey, Jiggles.
Oh, come on.
Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
In CinemaScope.
Don't act like you don't like it.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour, more celebrity stack, latest on what's going on in Wisconsin, and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Woo! Go Union! 24 minutes after the hour. Salt of the Earth. Love that song. Love it. Jim, speaking of which, I've guessed the quote. We've made too many compromises already. Too many retreats. They invade our space. We fall back.
Oh, you okay? You okay? You mean a Heimlich?
They assimilate entire worlds and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here, this far and no further, and I will make them pay for what they've done. Who said that?
Mick Jagger.
Ah. No. It's a Captain Picard.
Oh.
I will make them pay for what they've done.
Star Trek. I got a Star Trek rev. See, you thought it was a Union thing. Okay. Let's go to Tim and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I've been listening to you and some other callers saying how Scott Walker's actually going to go ahead, and if we destroy the collective bargaining in the unions, that he's going to lose tens of millions of dollars in the highway budget and things like that. Quite frankly, he doesn't give a crap. He really doesn't. He's been giving every dime he would get from the federal government, he's given back. He has returned the money for the trains. He has gone ahead and gave back money for to update and actually integrate broadband throughout the state and rural areas.
Yep.
He's given money back to go ahead and allow people to stay who are financially crippled right now, gone ahead and gave the money back so that way they can remain on Badger Care. He's given all sorts of money back. He doesn't care about the tens of million dollars for the highway budget. He doesn't care. His goal is to destroy the unions and then destroy the state.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for him, I think that's become all too obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to have a little more subtlety in politics. All right, we've gotten off track because now all we're talking about is burgers during
Mommy,
I'm hungry.
Wow.
God, what's the thing with the cheese in it? How do they do that?
Okay, what they do is they put a pile of Parmesan cheese on the grill itself and let it melt, and then they scrape it off the grill, and it becomes a crispy patty of melted Parmesan. They put that on top of the burger.
Oh, Mommy burger.
Oh, Mommy.
Yeah. All right. Jim is checked
that's
out.
That's why they call it that, because you say, oh, Mommy.
All right. Celebrity stack. Anne Hathaway promises not to mock the stars when she hosts the Oscars.
I think Ricky Gervais made that promise as well. But he was joking, obviously.
Although my friend Bruce Cohen is producing the Oscars, so I have to... She and James Franco are hosting them, so I have to wish them well.
Wow, that was a big name drop.
I am a big name dropper.
Yeah, I like a beer
I'm going to be
at
a fancy Hollywood Oscar party, in fact.
I like a beer as well as the next guy, unless the next guy is Mel Gibson.
Thank you. All right. I'm not sure this is wise, but guess who's licensed to pack heat in New York City?
Who?
Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel, and Donald Trump. And I bet Donald Trump's gun is, you know...
Huge. Huge.
Yeah.
I can hide it in my toupee.
Of course. And that wombat.
Whatever it is he has. Yeah.
Small woodland critter.
You were showing me a little bit. A little bit. I'm going to shoot you a little bit.
I betcha. Okay. I don't know. Chris, is this breaking news to anybody? Since she used to go to our Be Celebrity gym. Faye Dunaway threw a... bit somewhere? Is that news to anybody?
On a plane?
On a plane.
Really? Oh, boy.
I think she actually used the phrase, do you know who I am?
Yes!
Yes.
You're my sister or my daughter.
Love that.
Yes, a flight attendant tells Page Six that they dubbed Faye the bitch after she threw... Just then, after she threw several in-flight tantrums on a early 90s flight. They're just getting to this story from London to her flight to London's Heathrow. Yes, she was a total bitch screaming at everyone, saying, don't you know who I am?
I am not one of your fans!
Don't you know who I used to be?
Tina! Bring me the axe!
Yeah, they wouldn't let her in first class, so she probably needed the axe to get through the curtain there.
And they do have an axe.
Or maybe
with me, fellas! Mm. This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
You know what I bet it was? I bet there was a bearing wall between coach and first class, and they wouldn't tear it down, so she could get into first class, is what I'm told. Apparently they would not upgrade her, and there was some trouble.
Tear down that bitch of a bearing wall and put a window where it ought to be!
She'd rather forget this role,
This is America's...
She'd rather forget that movie.
Pre-Steven Slater, this is America's funniest... airline attendant, what do you call it?
Pranks,
yes. When she fell asleep, one stewardess said, I'm going to get that bitch, and grabbed a bunch of wire hangers and put them on the seat next to her. That's funny. Apparently she was not amused when she woke up.
Oh, boy.
Because she had, I think, previously told them. I think everyone knows that there must be no more...
No wire hangers ever!
Why do we have every single line from that movie?
I don't know. Instead of saying thank you for flying, they said...
I am not one of your fans!
Wow!
All right, 29. It's almost the entire movie. There's no reason to watch it now. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't feel bad.
Stephanie Miller.
Everyone makes mistakes. Yours is just public and expensive.
I just did the last remaining line that we didn't play to Jim Ward.
What?
Why can't you give me the respect?
Because why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
All right. That's
enough.
All right. Joanna in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joanna.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you? Good. Go ahead.
Well, two comments. One, I'm a kindergarten teacher in a public school, and I have a class size of 31. So without my union, perhaps I could have 40 4.5 and 5-year-olds all by myself. Isn't that a good idea?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Is mental health covered in your health insurance?
There you go. Okay, so my second comment real quickly is, if you look on a couple of the websites, Huffington Post and a couple others, there have been reports from England where they, you know, they're doing all these austerity measures, cutting back on universities and senior centers and PE programs and things like that. At the same time, there are, you know, gazillion billionaires like the Koch brothers who have stores and things over there that don't pay any taxes at all, and they're getting giant tax breaks like what Walker just gave away, his $100 million.
Yep.
And so the public is doing a reverse tea party, and they are uniting, and they're putting boycotts in front of the stores and telling people, don't shop here until these people pay their fair share, because we're getting all these cuts, and if they paid just their fair share, they wouldn't have to make the cuts, which is not to say we're not in a bad economic situation, but perhaps if the Koch brothers and other gazillion billionaires did pay their fair share, we wouldn't be in such a bad shape. So I think we should be covering what's going on in England and encouraging people here to do the same.
Yep, absolutely. Good call. Thank you, honey. Peggy in Madison. Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Go ahead.
I got up this morning and saw a cartoon that I knew you would love in the Wisconsin State Journal here in Madison. And it has, of course, Governor Walker sitting at his desk, and his secretary is contacting him and saying, sir, you have the Easter Bunny on line one and Bigfoot on line two. And Walker says, tell them to hold. I'm talking to David Koch.
Yeah. It's Frank Cole cartoon. All right. That's funny. He's never going to live this down.
Yeah.
Bill in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You got me wondering while I was on hold, where did Kathy Bates' nude scene come in on that pot?
Yikes.
That's right. About Schmidt. That's right.
I'm going to guess the least pause scene.
I spent a lot of time arguing with my close-minded conservative friends about this situation in Wisconsin. But I had one send me a post today. It was off of Michelle Malkin's site, so we know where the validity would be. But something about a union protester punching somebody out, and then my friend says, you know, if that was a tea party, or we'd hear all about it from the old media. And I guess there was a Democratic congressman yesterday that made a comment about bloodletting on the street or something. Can you enlighten me? I try to use as knowledgeable people as I can to fight the fight out here.
I'm guessing that like on most right-wing websites, that's made up out of whole cloth.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We will look into it. All right. Finish up Celebrity Stack. This is just an odd headline, Jim. Gary Busey's not as loud as he used to be, thanks to Marley Matlin.
Huh?
See? You want to know the rest of the story, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That, whoever wrote that headline is a genius. Drew me right in.
They're on Celebrity Apprentice, apparently.
Mm.
Deaf actress Marley Matlin met Gary Busey for the first time, and she immediately observed that he spoke too loud. See, and I thought he was just... because I've spoken to...
And she's deaf, and she knows that he's...
Yes, and had trouble understanding conversation. She realized that he was partially deaf and pulled him aside, suggested that he see her hearing doctor. The doctor told Busey he had 40% of his hearing loss and fit him with a hearing aid.
Hmm. Really?
Rock on, Marley Matlin. Yes. You're definitely talking too loud if a deaf person thinks you... Could you lower your voice? I'm right here.
Even I heard you. And I...
Oh, don't. Oh, dear. Oh,
okay. Boy. All right. Jim Louise.
What?
Ward. Okay, it's all right to shop at Target again.
Oh?
They changed their policy following gay protests. Target's policy on political contributions changed 6 months after receiving criticism for endorsing an anti-gay politician. Reports say the policy now mandates an executive committee be responsible for balancing business interests with other important considerations. They gave $150,000 to anti-gay Republican Governor Tom, or anti-gay Republican Tom Emmer during his Minnesota.
Right. I remember that.
Yes, to which... because I love the Target. I didn't want to have to, you know. All right. It's just a couple of blows to Tarjay, especially when they lost Mizrahi. That was...
Mizrahi!
Yeah, but that was like years ago. That was like...
I know.
6 years ago.
I still have a Mizrahi top from Tarjay. I love it.
They found out it was the safe word and said, oh, no, we can't.
Oh, no, we can't have that. All right. The Glee cast now officially has more hits than Elvis.
Okay, yeah.
They Elvis Presley had a record 108 singles. Yesterday, Glee, they debuted 6 songs in the Hot 100, bringing their total 113. Of course, they're songs that are covered. Yeah. Yes, so they
like
have
kids
a little...
Bop.
Don't you?
Glee has completely jumped the shark for me.
Oh!
Yeah, I... Ugh.
All
sorry.
Right, how dare you?
Well, I... Yeah.
Did you see the SmackDown, Jessica Hahn and Barbara Walters on The View?
Oh,
wow,
I heard about
that must
this.
Have been fun.
Yes.
Yes, the show is doing a Where Are They Now? Because, of course, you're thinking, Jessica Hahn? What?
She's in the news again?
Yes. She, they were doing a week of Where Are They Now episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Hahn, you remember she had the, what do you call
the
it?
Affair.
Sexual encounter with Jim Baker. No, that was the whole problem.
Oh?
It wasn't an affair. It was, remember, it was a sexual encounter of some sort.
Oh.
Where he, you know.
Hmm.
Hahn bristled when Sherry Shepherd called it an affair, and she brought up Walter's past for comparison.
What?
Oh, no, you don't go there.
Oh, was Barbara
said,
sitting right there?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
she
my
said,
God.
She said this wasn't an affair. I'm like, I don't want to be cruel or anything. In your book audition, you had an affair with a senator. To which Walters lunged like a bobcat. She said, this is about you, my dear. This is not about me, okay?
I'm not indiscretions.
I am very happy to talk about my past relationships, but this is about you. Yeah, you know, not Barbara on the
View. Not on her show.
No.
Oh, dear.
Now, Newt Gingrich, I say, yoo-hoo!
Oh, this is awesome.
Oh, those kids today. You see, Jim, they think it's fine to call out the big fat.
Wheel
yes.
of right-wing hypocrites!
Mm.
Are you happy now? Perfect.
Former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich was confronted Tuesday night by a college student asking about his extramarital affair during the 1980s. T and then a he... The student said, you adamantly oppose gay rights, but you've been married 3 times and admitted to having an affair with your current wife while you were still married to your second. Said Isabel Friedman, president of the Penn Democrats. She asked Gingrich after a speech at the University of Pennsylvania. She said, as a successful politician who's considering running for president, who would set the bar for moral conduct and be the voice of the American people, how do you reconcile this hypocritical interpretation of the religious values you so vigorously defend?
Well, frankly,
rock on, sister.
I hate you because you're bastard people, and I hate your ass face, frankly. Frankly. Shut up.
He said, I bet almost anybody here can gather the thrust of your question. I appreciate the delicacy and generosity in the way it was framed. I hope you feel better about yourself.
That was his answer?
Yeah. He said, I've had a life which on occasion has had problems.
Oh, on occasion?
it's his life. It's not him. His life is just somehow.
Just something that happened
mistakes
to him.
Were made somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had no part in those mistakes at all.
Passive voice.
Yes. He said, I believe in a forgiving God, frankly.
Frankly.
And
forgives me, frankly.
Yeah, you better.
But he doesn't forgive the gays. For their,
no. And frankly, the American people will have to decide whether that's their primary concern. Well, I think they will, frankly.
I think they have, according to the latest polls.
Frankly, I don't think you have a chance of
no,
frankly. This is what I think.
Frankly, I'm screwed, and not in a good way, frankly.
All right. And this has been another episode of...
Frankly.
Starring Newt Gingrich. All right. House Speaker Boehner will take questions from the public on the budget standoff next week on the YouTubes. Please, somebody ask him about
it. Don't mention the tab.
Members of the public can submit questions on Boehner's YouTube page using Google Moderator or by tweeting their question. Please, somebody. Speaker Boehner, I was wondering how those of us in America's youth might have a chance to one day live the American dream like you did by going from a tavern to the House Speaker.
Do they have a special orange filter on YouTube?
All right.
Make it look somewhat human.
A third judge has ruled health care reform constitutional. Federal judge for the District of Columbia Tuesday evening ruled the Democrats' health care reform law constitutional, bringing the total to 3. 2 other right-wing ideologues, as you know, judicial activists, have ruled it unconstitutional. The judge wrote, because of this cost-shifting effect, the individual decision to forego health insurance, when considered in the aggregate, leads to substantially higher insurance premiums for those other individuals who do obtain coverage, she wrote in a ruling. According to Congress, the uncompensated costs of caring for the uninsured are passed on by health care providers to private insurers, which in turn pass on the cost to purchasers of health insurance, which is why it is constitutional. What is unconstitutional? The other big breaking judicial story. The Obama administration said Wednesday it would not defend in court the Defense of Marriage Act and the federal law that defines marriage as between a man and a woman. The Justice Department had previously defended the law, but said it had determined in a pair of cases in the federal appeals court in New York it was no longer constitutional. Eric Holder wrote to the Boner. The administration said, and they said they will continue to enforce it. So they're lying about that on the Fox News and elsewhere.
Yep.
The White House press secretary said the president doesn't believe the law is constitutional, though his own personal view on gay marriage is still evolving. He is grappling with the issue, said the president's Carney.
Jay Carney, right. The press secretary.
Oh, and by the way, let me clear something up for some right-wing caller I heard earlier on some show. I don't understand how you the American people got to get their arms around a woman calling herself a husband and a man calling himself a wife. Okay. Hey, Cletus. Women, it's two wives and it's two husbands. It's not about like
And does it really matter to that guy?
Yes, who cares?
What the two people call each other in the relationship?
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
It does not affect his
exactly.
marriage to his cousin.
I'm an American. I want to call my partner, I don't know.
I just call my partner sis.
Bozo. I don't, then, yeah, exactly. Just because you call yours best the cow. Oh, come on. 45 minutes after the hour. All right, just get that out.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
Mm-hmm. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, that is like magic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Oh, Jay writes an interesting headline. Madison police chief asks governor to explain his comments on bringing in troublemakers. Why? Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
This is a city. Madison, Wisconsin.
Thank you. Jeremy in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
Good,
I just wanted to remind people while they talk about how, you know, it's not okay for workers to have government contracts. Koch brothers received $100 million in government contracts.
Huh.
And, if you go to politicalcorrection.com, you can read it there. So, you know, and since they say that corporations are individuals now, it's kind of interesting, the double standard. They don't talk about such no-bid contracts and things like that.
Mm, yeah.
And the other thing that's ironic is libertarians, by the way, are useful idiots. They're essentially, you notice how they only talk about privatization once they've already achieved, you know, power and property with state power. Like the power plants in Wisconsin, now they want to privatize them once the public's already paid for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't that
make
them Leninist?
Yes. Now a warning.
Yeah.
Now
a warning.
Gino in Philadelphia. Hi, Gino.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of Center City, Philadelphia, across from City Hall, and there's a rally going on in support of the people in Wisconsin. It's represented by an assortment of unions, the steam fitters, the bricklayers, the theatrical stage workers, AFSCME, and there's probably, it's kind of hard to say, but there's probably at least 1,000 people here right now.
Awesome.
And the rally started about 20 minutes ago.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And,
solidarity. Yeah. Power to the people. Thank you, my friend. Yeah, in Indiana, Governor Mitch Daniels there, the Republican.
I can tell you what won't happen. We will not be bullied or blackmailed out of pursuing the agenda we laid in front of the people of Indiana.
Yeah. Americans protesting peacefully. You see how they show that? That's bullying. Yeah.
Violence.
What Governor Walker's doing is not bullying. Governor Mitch Daniels.
I got all year. And I don't melt.
Oh, aren't you big right-wing tough guy? Mm-hmm. Cocor. Okay.
Well, we don't know that.
Cocor.
Do we?
Indiana, a Democratic Indiana state representative.
The governor said from the very beginning that he would prefer that some of the more divisive issues not even be brought forward.
All right. Here is some. You always like to get to some good news. One of the women in Gabrielle Giffords' office has returned to work. She survived one of the survivors of the mass shooting. Said she's thrilled to be there and thankful to be alive 6 weeks after she was shot in the chest and the wrist. Pam Simon was a Giffords staffer. Gabe Zimmerman, who was the director of community outreach, of course, was killed in the shooting. There's one other staffer, Ron Barber, who has not returned yet to work, who's still injured. And she said it was she and Gabe Zimmerman, the guy who was killed, that showed up first to help set up the Congress on your corner event. And like clockwork, guess what they're doing right now in Arizona? Arizona's Republicans pick official state gun. That was the...
That's the message they got from the Gabrielle Giffords shooting?
Yeah. Well, first they pushed a bill that would require universities and communities to allow guns on campus, and one of the
require them
10
to.
That permit guns inside government buildings such as the state capitol. But wait, there's more. They're advancing a bill that would give the Colt single-action army revolver the distinct pleasure of being the state's official firearm. Arizona would be the first state to choose a government-backed gun.
And probably the first state to issue them to all prisoners and mental patients.
Sure, the Colt company enjoys the endorsement. Wow.
Well, I missed this story. The recent CPAC, CNN.com, writing about right-wingers take on left coast. Us Hollywood liberals out here.
Oh, really?
Pat Boone spoke.
He's so current.
Yes, check this out. He said, the movies and television music we used to produce created an image of America the world envied and wanted to experience. Now the millions around the world call us the Great Satan, and with good cause. Oh, I'm sorry. Is he saying that we should be blown up by terrorists
because we are the great Satan.
Of our movies?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Writing love letters in the sand.
Isn't he the guy that sang white versions of the black rock and or roll music in the 50s? He is.
Tutti Frutti.
He did. He did that version of Tutti Frutti.
Ew.
Yeah.
Guess who else spoke? Saturday Night Live veteran Victoria Jackson.
Oh, jeez.
Who charged that there is discrimination in Hollywood. She said they just don't dislike Christians. They hate God.
That's
because she hasn't been cast in anything.
Yes, and that's what she said.
She's a lunatic.
She said, do you see me on TV? No. Do you see me in movies?
Because
no.
Because she's not funny.
Maybe because you're a one-note hack.
I didn't think she was funny back then.
No.
She did one character over and over and over again.
Yes, by the way, it's incredibly easy for actresses above a certain age to get work anyway, so I'm sure it couldn't have anything to do with anything other than that Hollywood hates God.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Or with the fact that you're incredibly irritating. All right. It's like whenever they do these stories, Chris, there's always people mentioned that, Jim, and I don't mean to be unkind, but generally when there's a comedian you've never heard of, why is that?
Because they're...
Not funny, really. I don't...
Or they're up and coming.
Eric Gloob.
Who?
He's a conservative comedian, apparently.
Well,
also
that's
spoke
an oxymoron
about
right
how unfair
there.
It is to because for conservative comedians and...
Whatever.
Okay.
Well, usually people are funny until they become conservative. Case in point,
Dennis Miller.
Miller.
All right. Steve in Long Island, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Steph.
Thank you.
One of my conservative friends called me up this morning with the blood flow in the street comment, which turns out to be a union supporter who's actually a head of a union saying we should get out and support our brothers. They've now woken the sleeping giant, and now the blood will flow in the streets, meaning get out and protest.
What?
Yeah.
Who said that?
Get out and protest to support them. He rescinded it the next day. And said, I'm sorry I chose the wrong words. He argued, what was the difference between him saying that and Sarah Palin putting crosshairs?
Yeah.
On things. So that's what we're dealing with.
Yeah. Well, I think the operative fact would be there has been no violence.
Right.
It's been incredibly peaceful and just
and clean.
Patriotic and tidy.
Yes.
Yeah, but some guy said that some other guy said that
the
somebody
said
about
thing.
Some about blood in the streets.
He said
so,
does one thing that one might be trying to distract from Governor Walker admitting on tape that he considered sending troublemakers into the crowd. Tom in Illinois. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Mama. Yes. Now, the statement I had heard, in fact, I heard the tape, was the union guy said, we'll take up this fight even if we have to get a little bloodied. There was no mention of blood in the streets. Rush Limbaugh was the one who decided to take a piece of clay and
take
manipulate
it. Further.
It.
It's so unlike him to get anything wrong, isn't it?
And they're always quoting Rush Limbaugh when they come up with that
stuff. Right.
I think he ought to go back to his fitness tips, don't you think?
He's
an area in which he has so much more expertise. Yes, he said that Michelle Obama is ordering us all to eat twigs and berries.
And gravel.
Yes, and we pointed out earlier.
Twig and berries refers to.
Yes, we were just saying, probably because he hasn't seen his in years.
Twigs and or berries.
Okay, I couldn't resist doing it again. All right. That's it for us. Friday's with Fuglesang tomorrow. Join us. Oh, and Joe Hansen of the UFCW tomorrow. Don't miss it on the Stephanie Miller Show.